What was the homework assignment?
Yes. Especially we spoke of two.
No.
Dorka nai. Inattentiveness we spoke of in the first day, and the second day, criticism. Blasphemy, criticism of devotees. Ninda. Sato nindam paramam apararam the Tanakis. The greatest of the worst things. Parama aparad. Criticism of devotees. And what else? So not to commit offenses. And what else? Not to take the mind seriously. So how did you do on your homework? Anyone like to report back? Yes. Yeah. You noticed that you weren't listening, at least.
Yeah, I tried to listen. I want to hear the answer. So I was kind of focusing on Krishna's voice.
Yes.
But I couldn't hear the words.
Yes. Did you criticize any? Where did you go on Parikrama? There's no question of criticizing anyone there, of these places, because you're so happy. That's the state of affairs, yes. Very difficult. In the atmosphere, being with the devotees in the atmosphere, what does that mean, that it was in the atmosphere? But did you fall victim to the atmosphere, the lure of the atmosphere? Let me just, were you with devotees and the tendency was of just being with anyone was to criticize, or was in the atmosphere and like walking around and the trees would whisper things to you? And
no.
There's two alternatives. One is very specific. Change the world, change the atmosphere, and the other is understand what is right and wrong oneself, and make it your own determination not to be influenced in that way. So which one would you rather do? If you want to try and change the world, good luck. Because the world doesn't want to change. It wants to criticize everyone. This is the reality of the situation. So no use criticizing everyone for criticizing. Because you, in one sense, it puts one in an above position. I don't actually want to criticize, but look at these people who control the atmosphere, like some demigods who are like turning the... If the reality of the situation is the tendency of people nowadays is to criticize, and if, my guess is that it was always there to some degree or another. But if that's the reality of the situation, you better decide what you're going to do about it. Either join the atmosphere or decide you're not going to join it. Any other? How about japa? I know that feeling of, I heard a few mantras today, much better than yesterday. Anyone else like to? Yes.
I found it was harder today because I'm not doing it
again. Again? I have to listen again? We did that yesterday. We listened to the holy names yesterday. Can I just...
I have another concern.
What?
Last night.
Just like the child, probably.
Yeah.
The rude and obstreperous. What's the exact meaning of obstreperous? Oh, you didn't bring the dictionary.
No, I didn't bring the dictionary.
But it's not a very positive word.
Accurate,
sounds just like the mind, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well... You have the same problem that the mother had anyway, dealing with the child. that's what the mind is like. It's like a naughty, obstreperous child that wants just to get its own way.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't get its own way, it throws a tantrum and it says that if you don't do what I want, you'll be sorry. I'm going to rant and rage. Make so much noise, next time you'll surrender to me immediately. That's the mind. Were you able to ignore your mind?
Yeah, I was.
But when I chant in this way, every mantra I hear, I think, how nice. Or even the attempt.
Mm-hmm.
so nice. I don't try to like exactly trick the mind. Now I'm just going to tell you to just listen to one mantra, and after you do that, I'm going to trick you, and then it's going to be in this way. No, I just try to chant and listen to Krishna's holy names. Anyone else like to? On this point, not criticizing?
No.
About? Yes. Yeah, because the mind wants something to do. So the thing that the mind can do is try to listen to the mantra. But it takes a lot of determination to keep it up over a long period of time. But the fruit of taking up seriously attentive chanting is so wonderful. And the fruit of not taking it and allowing the mind, Hare Krishna, to just wander all over the universe is terrible. Eventually, this battle will have to be fought. Today, what do you remember from yesterday's class that I promised today? Magic. And one other thing, I remember ants also. What are we going to do about magic and ants? Well, we'll get to the magic and we'll get to the ants if Krishna allows. But first, please take out the sheet of the Shikastak with the first three verses. And we'll say the first two together, the Sanskrit, and then we'll move to the third. Or actually, we'll talk about the second one and what is the bridge between the second one and the third one. So does everyone have their sheet?
Chetotopanamajanambhavamahadabhagninavappanam Seyakaraivatandrikam vataranam vidyavarujivanam Anandam budivardhanam pratipatam punamritam sadhanam Savatma snapanam param vidayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam.
So that first verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explains the results and the potency of chanting Krishna's names, that Krishna's holy names can be victorious and drive away, practically speaking, the material world. And then the second verse,
Nam Nam Akari Bhuda Nivasava Shaktis Tatapita Niyamatas Maranena Kala Itadrasi Tavakripa Bhagavan Matmapi Durdai Hamidri Samihan Anujanuraga.
That Krishna's names are so potent, so powerful. They are Abhinatam Namanamana, they are Krishna. And Krishna is so kind that he doesn't make any restrictions in chanting. You can chant on the bus, you may not be able to hear very well due to the loud engine noises, but you can chant on the bus and you can be affected by the transcendental sound vibrations. You can chant in the morning, at night, here and there, everywhere. And actually be in touch with Krishna. So he has made himself so easily available to us by his holy names, but unfortunate as I am, I have no attraction for Krishna, for chanting Krishna's names. And what is the cause of the dudaivam? They're especially offenses. But there, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains there are four causes, all under the category of anartis. Does anyone remember one? Okay, that's the last one. Weakness of heart. Anyone remember another one? Thank you. Tattva vibhrama. Not understanding the philosophy. And I heard someone else say asatrishna. Attachment to sense pleasure, basically, and enjoyment, material enjoyment, and aparad, offenses. So after hearing that this stops us from getting the actual benefit of chanting, we're already chanting, but this stops us from getting the benefit of chanting, and stopping our attraction to chanting, then we make a determination. From now on, I will not criticize devotees. From now on, I will not be attached to the temporary. It's so foolish to be attached to the temporary. I won't do it. I won't have weakness of heart. I'll be attentive. I'll listen to every mantra. I'll keep on trying. And I'll study the philosophy very carefully and apply it. We become determined after hearing the philosophy. And then the result of our great attempt is the next verse.
Trinadapi sunichena tarodapi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari.
This verse describes humility, which is really the magic formula. Because we try by our own power to advance, and we find out that we cannot do it. Our sincerity is weak. The atmosphere causes us, or we easily cooperate with the atmosphere, and we just easily criticize others. Our mind hankers after so many things while we're chanting. And therefore we become more determined, I'm going to try again. And the result of our attempt, is we become conscious of how weak, insignificant, and powerless we are. Not that we don't try, but we see how tiny and powerless and insignificant we are. Which is exactly the opposite of the mood of everyone in the material world. Because everyone in the material world is thinking themselves more or less the center of existence. Because Krishna bhule se jeev, we turn our back on Krishna, and then we become overwhelmed by false ego, thinking, I'm so important. We want the atmosphere to cooperate with us, you know. This is where does the atmosphere, I mean, but the world will not cooperate. That's one thing you can count on. It will crack out. The whole material world is specifically made to not cooperate with our desires. So we can understand very kindly, it's Krishna's mercy. The whole world, no one wants to get old, you know, in the grossest way like that. No one wants to get old, no one wants to die. Everyone has a plan of what should happen in life. And it never happens, it can't happen. The material world reality refuses to cooperate. And the result of that, we either become extremely angry and cynical, as are most old people, or after having experienced life, we become humble. That yes, the world doesn't cooperate. Here I am, very tiny and insignificant, the opposite of material consciousness. And this humility, caused by the material world's not cooperating, and that's true no matter how powerful we are in this world, the material world will show us that we're only insignificant. If no other time, at the time of death. Prabhupada would tell the story that he knew one man who was very wealthy, and he was a schemer and a planner, and he asked the doctor, he was very ill, he asked the doctor if he could kindly prolong his life another few years because he had so many plans he wanted to fulfill. And Prabhupada laughed at this, not in a laughing at his misery, but laughing at the foolishness, thinking that we're going to pay the doctor to prolong our life. Don't you know how insignificant you are? Don't you know how insignificant the doctor is? Don't you know how insignificant the medicine is? No one can prolong anyone's life a moment even, because we're in the face of this material energy. Kalosmin lokachaya krit. It will crush everything in material existence into fine powder. it will not cooperate with our plan, as if we're, the universe is supposed to cooperate with us. Who do we think we are? The universe cooperates with Krishna. And who do we think we are? We think we're Krishna. We all wander around day by day thinking we're the center. So the opposite of that, again, is the purpose of this verse, even in spiritual life. This is the magic, this is the great secret. When we see that, yes, it is very difficult to control the mind. When we're young and we first begin chanting Hare Krishna, we have a dream of what's going to be so nice, just, you know, I'm going to be a devotee, I'm going to join, and life will be like this, and Krishna will provide our wife or a husband, and you know, the money will come, and this will happen, and I'll rise, you know, and I'll make advancement, and I'll spread Krishna consciousness, or this or that. And really, life will teach us that it doesn't happen like that. Life is full of struggle. Spiritual life is full of struggle. Okay. Usually I prefer at the end, but the end may never come in this class, so...
Humility, it's, you know, you try to practice it on a daily life, but when you're in a corporate center, and when you don't use your power or your...
Well, we spoke about that yesterday. We do our part, like Mother Yasoda. Remember, two fingers? Mm-hmm. We have to do our part, but we should understand clearly that our part, it's necessary, but insufficient. It is not enough. We need something else. We need the second finger, which is Krishna's mercy. So that's becoming a devotee, when we learn how to depend on Krishna. We do our part, not that we just sit back and wait for Krishna to put the food in our mouth. You know, we have to do our duty. We have to work. But we should know that our work is insufficient. That we are fully 100% dependent on Krishna for everything. Everything? Yes, everything. For the ability to chant properly, for the ability to not criticize others, for the ability to listen to one mantra, for the ability to pray. So therefore, Trinadapi Sunichena, humbler. Trinadapi Sunichana, what does Trina mean?
Grass.
So more lower than the grass that everyone steps on. Tororapi Sahisnina, Toro means tree. More tolerant than a tree. Amanina means doesn't desire respect from others. So these are the qualities. And manadena means who is ready to offer respect to others. And then kirtaniya sadhari. With this type of humble mind, not just sitting back, but doing one's duty, one's work, but yet being humble and depending on Krishna, then one can kirtaniya sadhari. One can chant Krishna's names because one needs that shelter. One has to chant Krishna's names because Krishna is the shelter for a devotee who's like this. So everyone will say that verse. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi sihisuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the stir on the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So humility means not feeling bad about yourself, because some of us have experienced all day long. The mind can be thinking, oh, I'm so terrible, I did this wrong, I said this wrong, I should have done this, I should have done that. That's not humility. That's just thinking about oneself all day long, 24 hours a day. I call that self-indulgent neurotic behavior. Just thinking about oneself, it's neurotic, it's mentally ill. But humility means you realize that you're fallen and you're like this and like this, and quickly, oh Krishna, help! Who can save me but you? Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So when one is constantly feeling oneself a fallen soul, if one is truly humble, then one is constantly chanting. It's cute. Here is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the final chapter of the Shikastakam, he explains these eight verses. Excuse me, the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he explains the eight verses, the Shiksha Astakam. So I'll read his explanation of the first three verses. And this is Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explaining Mahaprabhu's explanation. Whilst Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus resided in Jagannath Puri, he was continuously overwhelmed day and night by separation from Krishna. Day and night he tasted transcendental blissful songs and verses with two associates, namely Sirup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Roy. He relished the symptoms of various transcendental emotions such as jubilation, lamentation, anger, humility, anxiety, grief, eagerness, and satisfaction. He would recite his own verses, expressing their meanings and emotions, and thus enjoy tasting them with these two friends. Sometimes the Lord would be absorbed in a particular emotion and would stay awake all night reciting related verses and relishing their taste. So he would say verses from the Bhagavatam, and he would enter into the deep meaning and he would experience transcendental ecstasy. In great jubilation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Sirup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, know for me," and this is of course the first verse of the Shikastak, "know for me that chanting the holy name of the Lord is the most feasible, the most possible means of salvation in this age of Kali. In this age of Kali, the worship of Krishna is to perform sacrifice by chanting the holy name of the Lord, and one who does so is certainly very intelligent, and he attains the shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna." I want you to please remember this particular phrase. He attains shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. The one specific word I want you to remember is shelter. In the age of Kali, and this is quoting Krishnavanam Tusha Krishna verse, "In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Lord who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna, one can be freed from all undesirable habits. This is the means of awakening all good fortune and initiating the flow of the waves of love for Krishna. Let there be victory for the chanting of the holy names of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting is the waxing moon that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. By performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service, all the different rasas. Relationships with Krishna can be awakened by chanting. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his devotional service as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Lamentation and humility awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation. here's that verse. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name, there is all good fortune for the living entity. And therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potency in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate, and listen to Prabhupada's translation here, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and I therefore do not achieve attachment for chanting. And remember, abhipramada, bewilderment, means inattentiveness while chanting, and therefore the first advice we were giving is just to listen, very simple, listen, not be inattentive while we chant. And the easiest way to do that, of course, the mind is a little, it is like a screaming, obstreperous? Yes, like an obstreperous child. Do you have an English dictionary? Okay. The mind is like that, so it doesn't want to hear. But if we can just narrow down what we're doing and just chant one mantra, then we are very fortunate. So unfortunate as I am, I commit offenses while chanting the holy name. I criticize devotees so easily and carelessly. And therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. Because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various holy names by your mercy. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. You have invested your full potencies in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. I have attachment for gossiping. I have attachment for watching this and listening to that, but I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. As soon as I begin, my mind tends to wander. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, and this is going to the third verse. O Swarup Damodara Goswami and Ramananda Roy, hear for me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Mantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna. If one follows this prescription, one can very easily awaken one's sleeping love for Krishna. One who thinks himself lower than the grass and is more tolerant than a tree, who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. So we think we're great, powerful, we think we're the center of the universe, practically speaking. But try, O great center of the universe, try to chant Hare Krishna and listen. O great center of the universe, try to not criticize others. Try to control your mind, O great and powerful one, and the result will become that you, if you make that a very strong and sincere attempt to do these things, to chant Krishna's name, to serve the devotees, to follow the path of bhakti sincerely, to serve one's spiritual master, to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission, the result, either quickly or slowly, one will see how selfish and self-centered and insincere one is. And soon as one sees, gets that glimpse of oneself, then one realizes that one needs so much help. And Krishna is giving the holy names. So Krishna, allow me to please chant your holy names. Krishna, please allow me to offer some service. Please allow me to listen to your holy names as I chant. Please help me stop criticizing others. So in this way, humility will give birth to the very process of taking shelter of Krishna, which is the process of advancement. As Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way, his humility, his own humility increased, and he began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service. So the result of humility mixed with some sincerity is prayer. We pray because we realize our own inability. So even Mahaprabhu teaching in this way, his humility increased, so he prayed that he could discharge pure devotional service, unmotivated devotional service, no selfishness. Wherever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna. So this is from the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I already gave the answer to this question, but why should one, was suggesting that we should take full shelter of Krishna. So why does one take shelter of another? So there's one little pastime, not little pastime, but in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, once Krishna was in Dwarka, and in the assembly house of Sudharma, and in this assembly house, everyone would naturally feel happy, and there was entertainment going on, and suddenly a messenger entered, and he was a messenger from many, many, many thousands of kings that had been kidnapped and held against their will, imprisoned by one king whose name was? Jarasandha, yes. So this messenger, he wanted to say something from those kings who Jarasandha had a plan to sacrifice them, kill them, to offer these 10,000 kings to Lord Shiva and kill them in that way. So they were afraid. So therefore they sent the messenger to Krishna with some words they wanted to tell Krishna. O Krishna, O unconquerable soul, destroyer of fear for those who surrender to you. Despite our separatist attitude, we have come to you for shelter out of fear of material existence. We take our life too lightly. We think it's going to go on and 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 on. And we forget that which is inevitable. And if we are confronted with our own death, we become afraid. And a pious person will take shelter of Krishna. All one's pride goes away when one is fearing death. So these people, these kings, even though they're kings, we're all kings in our little world, thinking ourselves the ruler of something or another. But we should be aware of what material existence means, and we should be fearful. So we have come to you, they say, for shelter due to our fear. People in this world are always engaged in sinful activities and are thus bewildered about their real duty, which is to worship you according to your commandments. This activity would truly bring them good fortune to worship you. Let us offer our obeisances unto the all-powerful Lord, who appears as time and suddenly cuts down one's stubborn hope for long life in this world. You are the predominating Lord of the universe, and you have descended into this world with your personal power to protect the saintly and to suppress the wicked. We cannot understand, O Lord, how anyone can transgress your law and still continue to enjoy the fruits of his work. Because Jarasandha was acting so sinfully, and yet he was so powerful. They couldn't understand how this was going on while Krishna was, the Supreme Lord is right there. So how could this be going on, they're saying? O Lord, so they say, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, now we're surrendering unto you, please give us full protection. O Lord, with this corpse-like body, which is always full of fear, we bear the burden of the relative happiness of kings, which is just like a dream. Thus we have rejected the real happiness of the soul, which comes by rendering selfless service to you. Being so very wretched, we simply suffer in this life under the spell of your illusory energy.
Therefore, since your feet relieve the sorrow of those who surrender to them, please release us prisoners from the shackles of karma, manifest as the king of Magda, Jarasandha. Wielding alone the prowess of 10,000 maddened elephants, he has locked us up in his house like a lion captures sheep. O wielder of the disc, your strength is unlimited. Because no matter how strong our mind is, no matter how strong our tendencies are to criticize, for this and that, that keep us in the material world, Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. Unlimitedly powerful. But we do not call for him in such a way that he helps us. Because, basically, we're proud. And we don't have so much taste. So if we have a little taste and a little desire, then we try, and then we'll become humble, we'll lose our pride, and then we'll call out to Krishna properly. You crushed Jarasandha in battle 17 times, but then absorbed in human affairs, you allowed him to defeat you once. Now he is so filled with pride that he dares to torment us, your subjects, O unconquerable one. Please rectify the situation. The messenger continued, this is the message of the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha. They all hanker for your audience, having surrendered to your feet. Please bestow good fortune on these poor souls. There is a purport by Srila Vishwanath that's included in the Bhaktivedanta purports here. Not the Bhaktivedanta purports, but the BBT purports. The word Nriloka Niratam indicates that the Lord was absorbed in playing within the world of human beings. So what is the reason why people surrender when they realize they have no other choice? People surrender when they realize they have no choice. The sword is at our throat. Do you surrender? Yes. Immediately. Because otherwise I'm finished. This is actually our situation. Go tripte varanam tata. We are actually, in fact, already depending on Krishna. But it is not conscious, it is unconscious. When it becomes conscious, our dependence on Krishna, then we are Krishna conscious. So naturally, our attempt to be pure devotees, to be better than we are, to be more pure than our capacity, it will give birth to humility. And that humility will give birth to depending on Krishna and calling out to him in prayer. Very easy to understand and very difficult to do because of this crazy mind. But I promise you that Krishna will teach you these lessons. As he taught the kings who were involved in their corpse-like kingly existence, because each and every one of us will have to meet the ignomi of death. Ignomi means the inglorious humiliation of old age and death. Old, wrinkled, weak, old men and ladies cannot be proud. And if we are lucky, that will what will happen to us. If we're not lucky, we'll die young. But it has to happen. Our pride must be taken away. It is being taken away at every moment, practically speaking. So we should just realize how powerful the illusory energy is and how weak we are and how much we need Krishna's help to progress in Krishna consciousness. So the magic formula is Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarodapi Sahisina. Listen to this, very interesting. Very interesting. One godbrother of Srila Prabhupada's used to tell one story. Now he's left this world. But he always used to tell one story about his dealings with Prabhupada. This was
Obiel Kapoor. We were both. He was a chemist. Because he knew Prabhupada in Allahabad. He used to sell medicines, and sometimes he would manufacture various original formulas. He's talking about Prabhupada. When he developed some tonic, he would offer it to me to sample. Once he had a tonic for brain concentration, which he suggested I use during my examinations in school. He was younger than Srila Prabhupada, and he was studying in the university. He was a PhD, very brilliant person. I did so, and it was quite successful. I said, Abhayda, that means older brother, I am happy you gave me this tonic, but why don't you give me the tonic that you use yourself? Which tonic is that, he asked. I replied, the tonic that helps you to be such an advanced Vaishnava, to give such wonderful Harikata and Sankirtan, the tonic of Krishna Prema, which you use secretly. In a humble way, he smiled and said, oh, I am working on that, but I have not yet been able to procure it, to get it. He was indeed a very deep and sweet Vaishnava even then. But later he said one thing, which was an indication of his future plans for service to our Gurudev. He said, about that tonic we used to discuss, I have not yet been able to manufacture that tonic, but I do know the formula. I said, please let me know the formula if it is not a secret. At that time he said, this is the formula. Trinarapi sunichena tororapi sihisnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. It is not a secret. Someday soon I will preach it all over the world. So this is the secret formula. And Prabhupada said, I will preach it all over the world. I will preach the process of attaining love for Krishna all over the world. That means I will preach the chanting of Hare Krishna in a humble state of mind. Humble state of mind comes automatically as soon as one tries to become a good and sincere servant. Because the most difficult thing to do in the whole world is be a servant, a good servant. And one will always come up against one's faults if one sincerely tries and if one pays attention. And not to feel bad, not to feel depressed that I couldn't chant well today and this, that. No. Just humbly get up. Even if you fall down 1,050 times, get up 1,051 times. And just try again, Krishna. Please help me. You can see it is clear to you. It is clear to everyone else. And it is clear to me that I am a fallen soul. Please help me. If you don't help me, what hope do I have? Easy to understand, hard to practice. Because of ahankar, false ego, envy, which is based ultimately on turning our back on Krishna, being envious of him. So we should take shelter of Krishna. Kirtaniya Sadahari. We should try very hard to listen to Krishna's names. And chant, there's a famous little story that I like to tell. That there was some dogs, and they were all sitting together, sleeping together. That's what dogs do. They get together, they wrestle sometimes, they go to sleep. And they saw a rabbit. And one dog immediately went running after the rabbit. And the rabbit immediately went running away as fast as he could. And the dog followed him, yapping and trying to capture him. And the rabbit ran into a thick bush. And he hid there because it had thorns. And the dog tried and tried to get to him, but he couldn't go through the thorns. So eventually he had to give up, and he went back to all his other dog friends, and they all laughed at him. Ah, you couldn't catch the rabbit. You tried so hard, and you couldn't catch the rabbit. Ha, 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 ha. And the dog looked at them and said, it is not surprising that I couldn't catch him. I was running for my meal, my noonday meal, and he was running for his life. So when we chant in that way, that our life depends on it, then we will be chanting properly. It is that serious. There is a famous verse of Queen Kunti's where she says, Janmai Swarya Shutashibir, Aidamana Mana Pumam, Na Eva Arhati Abhidattambai, Tam Akinchana Gotsara. We'll read that verse and Prabhupada's purport because it tells us where we should depend. We should depend on Krishna. We should not depend on whatever gifts Krishna has given us or whatever our karma has awarded us. We should not depend on it because that will disallow us from chanting Krishna's names properly. The verse is, my Lord, Kunti Devi says, your lordship can easily be approached. He can be easily approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feelings. So the verse is Janma, birth, Aishwarya, opulence. Shuta means learning. Shri, beauty, beer, power. Edamana, madapumam. When a man is bewildered by these things, Na eva arhati, he does not deserve abhidattam, to address you vai, with feeling. He does not, he cannot. If one is bewildered by some other shelters, janma aishwarya shuta shri bir, whatever we have, we tend to depend on that. And if one is bewildered into thinking those things can protect us, even in our spiritual life, then we cannot chant properly because tam akinchana gochara, you are the property of those who don't take shelter of anything within the material world. They may have so many things around them and even use them in Krishna's service, but they don't make those things their shelter. So here is Prabhupada's purport, very important purport. Being materially advanced means taking birth in an aristocratic family and possessing great wealth and education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all these material opulences, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all these material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, intoxicated by such temporary possessions. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him feelingly, O Govinda, O Krishna. It is said in the Shastras that by once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of a quantity of sins that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement. Actually, the Lord's holy name has such powerful potency, but there is a quality to such utterances also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he's incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, and attractive beauty, are, so to speak, disqualifications for progress on the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as a fever is an external feature of a healthy body. The general process is to decrease the degree of the fever and not to aggravate it by maltreatment. Sometimes it is seen that spiritually advanced persons become materially impoverished. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, such impoverishment is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good good sign.
The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication, which leads one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. Grossly illusioned persons are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God.
So what do we depend on? This is the issue. This is the issue. What do we depend on?
Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written, of course, many, many, many songs. One of at the beginning of his Gitavali, there's one song, most of you probably at least have heard it.
Udila Aruna Porababa Ge Dvijamani Gora Amani Dage Bakata Samuha Lailo Sate Gela Nagara Braje Tattai Tattai Bajaloko Gana Gana Tahi Zanjiraro Preme Dala Dala Sonaranga Charane Nupura Baje.
There are eight verses in this song. I would just like to read the last three. I'll read the Bengali and then the English.
Jivana anitya janaha sar tahe nanavidha vipadava namasraya kore jatana tumi takaha apanakaje.
You should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kind of misery. But I want to be happy.
Well, you're arguing with reality here. And as the saying goes, when you argue with reality, you lose 100% of the time. Because how could you be miserable? I mean, how could you be happy and you're dying in every moment? This is the reality. We speak like this to bring up a particular mentality. And what is the mentality?
Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Namasraya kori jatana tumi. Therefore, take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation.
Not just chant Krishna's name, but nama asraya. Take shelter of Krishna's name. Take shelter. Chant like that. Oh, Krishna, I have no other shelter by you, and I need shelter.
If there is no need, there won't be any taking shelter. And if you want to understand the need, open your eyes. Look around at the world. Look at reality. It is a devastation. It is a holocaust. So take shelter of Krishna's holy names and always engage in his service.
Not just, it's the quality. It is not just the chanting, Prabhupada said, it is the quality of the utterance. If we're taking shelter of our material abilities, it is different. We won't be able to chant with feeling.
Jivera kalyana sadhana kam jagate asye maduranam avidyati mira tapana rupe ridga gane viraje.
Desiring to shower benedictions upon all living entities, our message isn't unhappy, isn't to make everyone miserable and tell them you can't be happy in the material world. You're trying to be happy in the material world. You better make sure you're not happy in them. Don't try to enjoy anything. You're trying to enjoy. I know. Stop that.
That's not it.
But desiring to shower benedictions upon all living entities, this sweet name of Krishna has descended to this material universe, and it shines like the sun in the sky of the heart, destroying the darkness of ignorance.
So we criticize the attempt to enjoy in the material world because it distracts us. Of course, it's not possible, but it distracts us from taking shelter of Krishna's name. And the final verse of this, Krishna nam sudakorya pan dudau bhakti vinoda pran nama bina kichu nahi kara chaura bhuvanamaje. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name of Krishna and thus satisfy the soul of Bhakti Vinod. Except for the holy name, there is nothing within all the 14 worlds. And then one other song. The one I'll just read right now is one of the first songs that Prabhupada introduced to the devotees in the West. It's Jeev Jago. Gora Chandra Bole Kota Nidra Yao Maya Pisachira Kole. I'll just read the five very short verses in English. Wake up, sleeping souls, wake up, sleeping souls. Lord Gauranga calls, you have slept so long. You have slept so long in the lap of the witch Maya. You came into this world saying, "Oh my Lord, I will certainly worship you." But having forgotten this promise, you remain in great ignorance. I have descended to this world just to reclaim you, Gora Chandra Bole. Other than myself, who else is your true friend? I have brought the medicine for destroying the illusion of Maya. Now beg for this Harinam Mahamantra and take it. Bhaktivinoda fell at the feet of Lord Gauranga, and after begging for the holy name, he indeed received that Mahamantra. Lord Chaitanya was speaking to Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar. When we were reading there, his quotation was to relish. There were particular emotions that he was experiencing. And the particular Shastric verses that he would quote would support the emotions that he was having. And another reason he would quote Shastra, because in that, especially in the Vedic culture, one doesn't say things based on what one thinks, even if one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the culture is based on Shastra, one gives Shastric evidence to support one's words. But why not just chant Hare Krishna? It is not hard and fast like that. Some devotees may chant Hare Krishna and love Shastra. Some devotees may only chant Hare Krishna. Some may like Smaranam, some like Vandanam, some like prayers. But the point is to be engaged somehow or another, always in Krishna consciousness. But whatever one does, it should be accompanied by the chanting of Krishna's names, because in Kalona stevana stevana steva gatiyanyata. This is the proper medicine. It will give life to everything else. Is that clear or not? And even he said there, he said, Mahaprabhu or Bhaktivinoda said, chant Krishna's names, take shelter of Krishna's names, and engage in devotional service as the point of your life, to serve the Lord of the name. Because the mood of a devotee is service, that's seva, or bhajate, it's service. Or how, not exactly worship, but served. So when the devotee chants the holy name, his mood is service, and naturally he wants to serve the holy name in any way he can, by spreading it, by teaching others how to chant properly. This is also chanting. This is also kirtanam. And the holy name is merciful to us when we glorify the holy name. Because a servant, we want to become servants of Krishna, and we want to use our nature fully in Krishna's service. What do you think?
Related to this material nature. For example, Shukadeva Goswami is an example of
by speaking
and kirtan.
Yeah.
Not he always chant
But we should engage in chant, make sure we engage in chanting at least 16 rounds. This is the recommendation, at least minimum. And those 16 rounds minimum that we do, they should be attentive. Or we should be making the attempt. We should be trying our best to bringing the mind back. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram. We should be trying to listen. Very hard to be that sincere, isn't it? But yet, if we recognize our insincerity, what did we just learn how to do? Trinada pisanichana. We turn that around. Oh, Krishna, I am so insincere. It's so hard for me to chant like a devotee. I'm not a devotee. I need your help. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Whatever terrible, horrible thing we find out about ourselves, we turn it into humility by accepting it's true. And then saying, oh, Krishna, if everyone in the room says, you're the worst of all the devotees here, you're so terrible, and everyone, we go around the room and everyone gives one quality that they hate in you. And immediately, naturally, you know, we get up and defend him. But instead of that, we say, oh, Mahaprabhu, everyone is voting for me, he's the most fallen. So please protect me. Please help me. Isn't it clear that I need more help than anyone else? Please help me. Oh, Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. So humility is the product of the sincere attempt for service and seeing one's incapacity without the kind and merciful, the showering of Krishna's merciful glance upon us. And then namasraya, then we take shelter of Krishna's name, not just chant Krishna's names and not even just chant and listen. Then the emotion, the calling out, the prayer is naturally added because the need is there. But if we say in the first day, everyone should pray like we really need it, there's no feeling of need. But the feeling of need comes naturally when we sincerely try and see our failing. So which is it better, to fail or succeed? Naturally we say we think it's better to succeed, but in some senses to fail is... Because there's a tendency for a conditioned soul to, when we succeed at something, we think, look what I've done, and you haven't done as well as me, and what to speak of you. Just see how great I am. Just see how nicely I chant. I listen. You don't chant so nicely. You don't listen. You don't know how to put on your tilak as straight as I do. I've been chanting so many years, 40 years already, and you've only been chanting. So with any success, the false ego tends to... And Krishna is so kind because, you know, we use, in ISKCON, we use the expression puffed up. We used, in the early days, we used to say puffed up like a what? No. Like a chapati. Because you put the chapati on the grill and it goes, but what is it? So big and fat and round, but what's inside?
Yeah.
Just hot air, nothing else. There's no substance. And then, whew. So that's how we're puffed up. We think we're so big, but there's nothing inside. We're just tiny and insignificant. So success in one sense is more dangerous than failure for a devotee. But yet, in Krishna's service, we'll get success. But don't become proud. Don't think that you are doing it. It's Krishna's mercy. He can crush it. He can take it away in 1 second, half a second. And everyone who is older than 14 probably has already seen this in life. Everyone has their own stories. You have your story. I'm sure you have your stories. You know, we're walking along thinking everything, I'm so wonderful, then suddenly, boom. Yes? Prabhu, is it true?
Yes.
It's true. You have your story? Yes or no? Is it a sad story? Plenty, yes, we all have plenty. And everyone can say, you want to see my scars and wounds? You have your story. You too? How old are you?
35.
35. Oh, you have many stories by now. You, Matiji?
Many.
Many, 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 many. This is Krishna's mercy. The universe refused to cooperate with us. It's Krishna's mercy. He's made it, so it won't cooperate with our plan to be for the universe. I'm the center, and the universe should do just what I want because basically I'm God. It will not cooperate. And ultimately it will crush the universe. This thing will turn into dust again. It will, I promise, or ashes or whatever. I promise it will. It will not cooperate with our plan to live eternally in this body. So we need a shelter like those kings, like Bhaktivinoda in his chanting, Namasraya. And Krishna is so kind, he's made this shelter available at any time, any place we can chant his name. But to chant with feeling, which is required, we cannot simultaneously be taking shelter of the material world. Our strength, our intelligence. We could also write down our own personal list of what we take shelter of. Some of us were so clever and we can move in the world. We think, when there's trouble, I'll do that. Or sometimes we have very nice smiles and we just smile and get through any difficulty. But it won't work, ultimately. It will not work. We should take shelter not of that, because those things will, if we take shelter of those, Na eva arhati abhidatam vai tama kinshana gosara. You are the property. You become purchased by those who have no material shelter, who possess nothing in the material world. Possessing nothing means don't think anything is theirs. You are the property of those who only possess the shelter of your lotus feet. Who? Oh, it's the same. Krishna means Krishna, and everyone connected with Krishna, or Prabhupada, or Guru Maharaj, or Krishna Balaram, or the dust of Vrindavan, or the Yamuna, or Mahaprabhu, or Nityananda Prabhu, or the Panchatattva, or so many great Vaishnavas, or Kovanan Hill, or Lord Nisringadev. I don't want to leave them out, otherwise I'll be in trouble. By their mercy, I can't say anything. Yeah, when I say Krishna, all of those. Now we've cut down our break to 5 minutes. We'll make it 10. Okay? At least I brought all the things, so I don't have to go running off today. So at 10 of, if everyone could join back here, and then we'll continue. But Nandanandana Prabhu won't be coming, but we'll read a song that's very special. Okay, 10 of.